Today's episode is brought to you by Progressive, where drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. Quote now at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Previously on Dungeons & Dragons.
Hey, is there something funky about you? You are shorter, friend.
Oh, yeah. That happened to me. That's a thing that's happening right now. Maybe it's permanent. I don't know.
You, sir, might be shorter for good.
It's not exactly the news I wanted to hear.
I know it sounds crazy, but I really miss... what I call it?
Ken?
I miss Ken.
Or where are you staying, Hillip?
I'm a man of the road. I stay in my caravan.
You're a man of the world, so it's fine.
Well, I thought you were going to offer me a place to stay. No, that's cool.
No? All right. Okay, so go.
I am Ken. I am stretching my maybe limbs. I'm bursting free from my side womb.
The four of you are walking down the alleyway, and it's getting pretty dark. Moot, you notice what looks like a young boy.
Meet me in the graveyard.
Guys, it's so creepy in here.
What do you mean? It's dark, and I know it's the final resting place of a lot of people.
You see a small boy in a dark hooded tunic. He has a third eye right in the middle of his forehead.
The demon gates are opening. Your destiny, it calls.
Welcome to Dungeons & Dragons. We're a D&D 5th edition actual play podcast, and I'm your Dungeon Master, Russ Moore, and with me today is Tom Laird.
Hey, that's me. I play Moot. He is a half-orc wild magic sorcerer.
And Amy Moore.
I play Sullivan Slight, a Lightfoot halfling rogue.
And also, Carla Maxted.
Yes, I play Nerixious Acra, who you probably know as Glim. She's a dragonborn paladin, and she's going to save the world, you know?
I've heard about this.
This destiny gets around. Like, people are starting to hear about it, which is crazy.
I can't wait to see if she can cash this check that her mouth has been writing.
First real adventure that you go on, all dead.
Oh, could you imagine?
Oh, gosh.
How disappointing.
Well, maybe it's a good life lesson, though, because if that happens, I mean, she'll be dead, so...
Is it a life lesson?
Doesn't matter. Though? No. Yeah, because if that happens, she'll be dead. It won't matter. And if it doesn't happen, then there was no harm in her believing very strongly in herself.
It's true.
So we should all believe very strongly in ourselves, what I'm saying.
This goes a long way.
That's the moral of the story. Yeah. Where we believe in you and where you should believe in yourself is over on Patreon. Patreon.com/dumbdragoncast, where if you join our community, you, as a patron, among all of the amazing exclusive content that we have over there, they should make exclusive an easier word to say.
Super secret.
Super secret stuff that we have over there. But also, you get an episode dedicated to you. Like today's patron, Nate Hacking.
Thanks,
Yay,
Nate.
Thank you. I believe in you, Nate.
That's right. And thank you for believing in us.
Yes. Thank you, Nate.
Carla's going
to
cry.
We're trying to turn
bit.
This into a motivational podcast secretly. I don't know if you guys have noticed.
I have noticed a few things with this storyline.
This is a backdoor pilot for my other podcast that is a motivational podcast.
why aren't we putting this in the production house here? Like, let's capitalize on this. Let's not send it somewhere else.
Well, it wouldn't be a secret podcast if it was over
Russ
here.
Russ is not upset. He's like, pilot for a new podcast? Yeah, let's do it.
Done. Sold. Get it up on Patreon.
I can't do any more podcasts, you guys. I'm a teacher now.
Yeah, Amy went and got herself a real job.
I did.
Yay.
It's all right. Well, you still got to carve out Tuesday nights.
I can carve out Tuesday nights.
Good, because it's on the calendar for the rest of forever.
It is. Sure, yeah, it really it's just is. A repeating date that, and it was like end date, and Russ was like, no.
No, weekly till the end of time.
Yep. Until forever.
Until Tiamat inevitably rises and kills us all.
Could happen.
There's a survey out on the Wizards page right now for D&D players. And I was at work today and I had a spare 20 minutes. It's a very long survey.
They do them every quarterly, but yeah.
Yeah. But there was numerous questions about, like, how often do you play D&D in a week? And how, and it was just like, I just had to put so many answers in about how I play, like, at least once a week. And I was like, oh, God.
What have I done with my life?
And it's like, well, how many groups are you a part of? And I was like, well, currently two, maybe sometimes a third. Oh, God. It's too much.
You are right in their wheelhouse.
Mm-hmm.
You're who they go after. Fuck it. Let's play D&D. The wind around you begins to kick up as you stand face to face with this ghostly three-eyed boy.
The demon gates are opening,
he says.
Your destiny, it calls.
Anyone else curious that this old guy sounds like a full-grown man?
What's a demon gate?
I'm more curious about the three eyes. Are you talking about my destiny?
I don't think I have a group.
Are you talking to me? I mean, you guys are tied into my destiny. We are? We're all together on this crazy roller coaster ride of saving the world.
Oh, shit. I didn't know that.
I don't know if I really signed up for that, though.
Well, maybe we should talk about it later. How about this kid with the full-grown man voice and the three eyes and the ghostly presence, right?
I mean, yeah, I would love to know more about this.
Yeah, we're going to circle back to this whole destiny thing, though, later. I think, like, this is something that probably should have came up organically. You know, like, over time, like, it's been a couple years, and you're just, like, we all just kind of know it. But now, it's a lot of pressure.
Yeah, it feels like maybe this is something that, like, would cause people to maybe crumble under said pressure. I don't know, Sully. What do you feel about this?
Is the kid just standing there looking at us like, I just told you some important shit. What are you doing?
Russ is dying.
There's a good chance we did, Carla. You know I don't remember shit.
I was so sure we talked about this. I don't think we did. I think
it's true.
Maybe we did. I feel like I've said very clear things to both of you about how we were supposed to meet and.
Well, yeah, I just thought you were just super enthusiastic.
Well, yeah, and you always talk about how, like, your destiny is to save the world. Well, I just didn't realize it was like a team thing.
Nobody can save the world by themselves.
Our destiny is to save the world. It's just nice to be included, you know?
I mean, I guess maybe you're right, Moot.
The boy looks to his imaginary watch.
This is not the kind of threesome I imagine myself having, that's all I'm saying.
And says,
I don't realize what I've just walked into here. I don't have much time.
Hey, he sounds like a boy.
He knows I'm here.
Who knows you're here?
And as he says that, the ground at the base of the tombstones around you begins to shake.
Well, this isn't good.
Follow the signs. Help those you can. And be prepared for battle.
Cracks begin to form as earth is heaved up near your feet.
What exactly are we going to be battling, though?
The boy,
if you could be more specific.
The boy looks around nervously at this point and says, you mean specific?
That's what I said.
He lead, He leaps towards you, and suddenly his face is right in front of you, and his lips begin moving like they're trying to form words as he begins to fade from sight, and you hear one final word ring out in your mind.
Orcus.
And then he's gone. And the earth settles, the wind dies down, and all is calm.
Guys, I think that we're about to be... I think that orcas are gonna take over? Whale people are gonna...
Some kind of underground whale people.
Is this anything to do with orcs? Because I'm a half-orc, but I've never heard of orcas?
Oh, you know what, though? Maybe he said Dorcas.
Yo, how much do you guys know about things?
Oh, God! Jesus, how long have you been here,
I've been here
man?
The whole time.
Has this been the most quiet you've ever been in your whole life? Jesus,
look, my voicer, he was voicing somebody else at this moment. So he could not voice
I don't know what that
me.
Means.
Can I roll a history check to see if I've heard of orcas?
Yes, absolutely you can.
Don't worry.
History or
I
religion,
haven't.
Oh, whichever
you prefer. My religion should be better, but it's not somehow.
Hmm. Well, maybe not all religion. Like, you just have the one religion.
You know it.
That's only a 12.
Yeah, with a 12, you definitely have heard of Orcus. He is the demon lord, prince of the undead. Currently resides in the Abyss, which you believe to be the home of the demons of the world that you know.
So maybe he was just insulting us, right? He was like, Dorcas.
No, you guys. Orcus. He's like the prince of the undead, demon lord, lives in the Abyss where all the demons live. Didn't you ever hear scary stories about him when you were a kid?
What?
And this guy is coming for us?
Well, I mean, kind of sounds like maybe.
Do you think he is coming for you three specifically, or maybe just the world in general?
Huh.
I mean, your destiny could be to stop certain aspects, but maybe... Maybe you are thinking very highly of yourselves.
Well, it's apparently our destiny to save the world.
That is true.
And this Orcus fellow seems like maybe he wants the opposite of that.
Yeah, but I don't think that means he's coming after us. He's probably coming after the world, and then maybe someone should get in between him and the world and have a little smackdown.
But aren't those someone's us?
Well, yeah, but that's what I'm saying is, like, I don't think, like,
oh,
if
so
the
you think,
prince of the underworld
oh, okay, I gotcha.
Even knows about okay. us, right? Like, he will probably crush us like ants.
Should we, like...
Speaking of which, I used to be a professional crushologist.
Oh.
And I used to go from home to home. And Tom, keep it there. And I used to crush things for a living.
Like, I mean, you mentioned... Ants, but other things too?
Oh, yeah, other insects, rocks that are small enough to crush, nuts. Did a lot of nut work.
Did you ever crush any
You
oranges?
Crushed all the nuts, did you?
Oh, wait, did I crush
any
what?
Any oranges? Did you ever crush an orange?
What about
no.
grapes?
Oh, yeah, I crushed a few grapes in my time, of course. Oranges, though. That's weird. You squeeze an orange.
Mm.
Mm. Well, I mean, really, squeezing is just crushing from a different angle.
Slowly crushing. Yes, it's much more controlled.
Sorry, have you guys ever been a crushiologist?
Well, you changed the name of the job, so...
Well,
maybe
it all depends
on
whether you're using it as a verb or a noun.
That's
like,
cool.
Legit,
so,
can't remember
I mean,
what
we
I call
to
it.
Be fair, we don't know the ins and outs of crushology or crushiology or the terminology of crushiology, so we just, as always, have to defer to our expert in all matters job related.
Yeah, no worries about it. I'm used to being around people who just don't quite have the same standard of understanding of the world that I have. So what are we going to do about this Dorcas guy?
Well...
Training montage?
All right, this is great.
Did we ever,
all make out drunkenly? No.
No, not yet. Where did we find... Did we figure out where Ken ended up?
Who's Ken?
Ken is your lump.
Your best you remember friend? Ken?
We were
lump?
On the trail.
Oh, shit. Yeah, no, sorry.
That is
There's
where
just,
we...
Wait, well, we were hold trying on to find a second. Ken, I thought the three-eyed boy was Ken.
No, no, no. The whole reason we came here was we were following Ken. And then that boy showed up.
Well, I thought that boy was Ken. I thought, like, you know, mystery solved.
No, maybe you three remember it incorrectly, but we was looking for Ken, and then the boy Wonder over here, who is Shorty Shortison, he saw the ghosty boy
down in the alley,
and he's like, come to the graveyard! And so we did, and we had the baguette on the way, it was very good, and now we is here.
Yes.
And we're a little bit more French than we were when we first came.
This is the same accent. I just edited an entire episode.
It was French. There was a lot of talk of baguettes.
That's true. There was very, very horny for baguettes.
So many baguettes. We went to El Torcho's with all the meats.
Oh, so much meat.
Cook the meats. Yeah. It was so wonderful. Did you get from the three-eyed boy any kind of Ken vibes? I know you guys were really, like, connected. I guess I thought these were two separate weird... male-presenting people. People? One tiny that came out of your body and one floating and ghosty and three-eyed?
Well, here's what I don't know. It's like maybe the tiny thing that came out of my body grew up real fast. I mean, at first it wasn't even a lump and then it was a lump and then it was too big to be a lump. This thing's probably 18 feet by now.
Oh. Well, that'll make him easier to find.
That's Sully true.
Sully looks up at the tree.
Did this three-eyed boy leave any footprints? Because Ken was leaving footprints all over the place.
Well, if you guys are just going to poke holes in my theory, maybe, like offer something new. Are there more footprints? Should we go back to the alley?
I don't know. I mean, I think everything went dry for us because we took a turn, and now I don't remember where I am.
Also, look at the ground underneath our feet. Do you guys think dead people are going to start to grab at us at any minute?
Oh, I mean...
I wasn't till now.
I didn't think so yet. I mean, graveyards are places where people are put to rest, and they're very peaceful and lovely, and I don't know why you have to ruin graveyards for me.
Well, I didn't do this.
Graveyards are her favorite time to go sit down and have quiet her time.
Are you spying on her?
No.
How do you know it's her favorite quiet?
It just seemed like she was inferring that you were ruining her quiet time.
Well, I suggest we move this conversation maybe out of the graveyard because it's super creepy as fuck.
Oh, I mean, okay. And, okay. Do you want to? We can go back to the alley and see. But
sure.
I do think we sort of ran out of footprints, but maybe.
Okay, you head back through the streets. They've quieted down some since the last time you passed through. It's still very late at night, and you make it back to the alleyway where you had seen the three-eyed boy the first time, or Moot had seen the three-eyed boy the first time, and back into the alley.
Can I make a perception roll to see if I see anything new in terms of tracks or anything like that?
You may make an investigation.
Yes, I want to do that.
It's a nat 20.
Oh, shit.
Well, I rolled a 2, so...
I rolled a 6, so you investigate so good.
I do. I'm going to take this shit seriously. Sully's like, I can't believe I forgot about Ken there momentarily. Just a slight lapse, but he feels terrible about it. Like forgetting you have a mother or something.
I mean, the world is crystal clear to you.
I'm in my mind palace.
Being that you didn't really remember what you were doing, you don't entirely remember what you were looking for specifically. What is it you're looking for?
Looking for any sort of trace that might tell me where Ken went.
You don't see anything to tell you where Ken went.
Okay, well, I make a big show of it, though. I go down on one knee. I, you know, pick up some dust and I touch it to my tongue and I'm like, the trail's gone cold.
So is it like on ice? It is kind of chilly tonight.
Yeah, I guess if we're speaking metaphysically, sure.
Well, maybe we just need a good sleepy sleep on it, and then,
Can someone sleep in my room with me?
Sure, yeah, absolutely.
Could somebody else sleep in my room with me?
Of course.
Okay, cool. Not that I'm scared of anything, but I mean, let's face it, last time I slept by myself, I developed a lump who developed a consciousness of his own and escaped. So, you know, there's that.
Allegedly.
I mean, should we all sleep in the same room and, like, we can go off on shifts? And
yeah, oh, yeah, sure. That sounds like a real good plan, Mook.
That's how we should do it on the road.
You should jot that down, the whole, like, doing shifts thing. That's how, like, seems like an important thing to remember. Can I borrow your pen?
Oh, it's a pencil, but sure.
That's not going to work. Sully wanted to write it on his hand.
Okay, so you head back to the monastery?
Temple?
Wherever you're going. Temple? That's the word I was looking for. You head back to the temple. And you all pile into one room. Who's taking first shift?
Dib's not on first shift.
I'll take first shift.
And he lays down. Okay. And is immediately asleep.
Hi. I'm Yusuf Dahl, and when I was 18, I was convicted of selling drugs. For the past 3 years, I've had difficulty finding housing because it is legal in the United States to discriminate against individuals that have a past drug distribution conviction on their record for life. It doesn't matter if it was a hard drug like heroin or a drug that's now legal or partially legal in many states across the country, like marijuana. The Thurman Amendment was introduced to the Fair Housing Act in 1988 by segregationist Strom Thurmond, and it's since been used to deny housing to all people. But because people of color are disproportionately jailed for drug charges, we are affected more. My goal is to overturn this amendment to start an end to housing discrimination that unfairly targets people of color. If you would like to join this movement, please visit ThurmanAmendment.org to learn more.
A message from the Fable and Folly Network. The Fable and Folly Network supports creators of exceptional audio stories, including the one you're listening to right now. If you love our shows, we want to hear from you. Complete our listener survey at fableandfolly.com/survey. This will help us learn more about you, what you like, what you'd like to hear more of, and how we can maintain an inclusive, safe atmosphere. As a thank you for your participation, we have extras and behind-the-scenes content from your favorite shows. Fans make the network what it is. Thanks for listening, and we can't wait to hear from you. Find our listener survey at fableandfolly.com/survey today.
Glim, I presume you are sleeping as well?
Yes.
Hillip has followed you, and he is also in the room. So we'll just cozy up here, all nice and warm and good and stuff. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Shh.
Okay.
Sorry.
Shh.
Sorry.
No talking.
All right. Moot. Roll me percentile dice.
Ooh, fancy. That is a 54.
This is not what I had planned for, so I gotta just gotta go with it.
Well, we had zero plan, so we decided to go to bed. like all good storytellers do when they've run out of things to talk about.
It was the middle of the night.
Okay, so you roll me a 54, and then also roll me a constitution saving throw.
Whoa.
Okie dokie. Plus 3, that is a 17.
You stay up for your shift, and you hear a few arguments going on outside the window. You take a look out, and you see a goblin and a human arguing in the alleyway. The goblin seems to be trying to shake down the human, from what you can tell. But that's the only thing of real note.
All right. I gently wake up Glim and head on to sleep myself.
What kind of waker upper are you? Are you like a gentle shoulder nudge? Like a poke in the face kind of person? Do you just moon someone, get your ass cheeks close enough to them until they wake up?
In real life, yes. But in this game, no.
Okay, fair enough.
Kate Glim, you wake up. Roll me percentile dice, please.
82.
And then a
I just read a piece of that by accident.
Constitution saving throw.
Okay.
What is this?
Oh.
I don't know.
That's a 3.
Oh God.
You get up and you're pacing around. You're really tired when you wake up. Weren't quite ready to get up, and you sit down in a chair and kind of catch yourself. Your head kind of drops, and then you find yourself, and your pants are on your arms and over your head, and your shirt is on your legs. Your socks and boots are laced up on your hands, and a stuffed horse's head is crudely attached by string onto your underwear and backside.
Oh, no.
And for a second, you're not quite sure, but you get this terrible feeling, and something unspeakable and foul is inside the stuffed head. You look down, and just before you figure out what it is, you snap awake to Hillup being like, hey, you fell asleep.
I had the craziest dream, and I'm like, touching myself to make sure, I guess I don't have a horse's head tied to my butt.
I don't see any. No, there's no horse's head there.
My shoes are where they're supposed to be. And
yeah.
Oh, you're okay.
You tripping balls on that meat sweats there?
I don't know. Maybe that's it. Oh, I don't know.
Okay. Well, you slept through your watch. I think it is Sully's turn now. I'm going to go wake him up gently. Sully, it's time to wake up. It's time to wake up in the morning.
Yeah, hold on a second. If you're talking to me, why don't you do the fucking shift?
No.
Because you're already awake.
No, see, it's your turn. You took 3 Z's.
Fine. He like he gets up like head last. If at all possible, like, he's laying down and, like, sits up and, like, drags his head along and then, like, snaps it up. And he's like, yeah, okay, it's fine.
It's good, it's fine.
As soon as you're up and out of bed, Hillup kind of crawls in behind you.
It's like, oh, this is the warm spot. It's very cozy in here.
Yeah, it's because they fat a lot.
Well, that is okay. I was sleeping in the corner on the cold, cold stone.
Well, it's because you actually have a place to stay, Hillup. I'm not even sure why you're here.
You said we needed to sleep in the same room, so we were all safe.
Good night.
Yes, sweet dreams, my prince.
Oh, God.
Everybody else is asleep.
Mm-hmm.
Roll me a percentile dice, and followed by a constitution saving throw.
Obviously. 50.
Nope. That's Well.
My zeros.
That's 5.
And a 5.
Yeah.
Zero.
That's 5.
Okay. 105.
Just 5.
105 out of 100 possible options.
Yep. I'm an overachiever.
And a constitution saving throw, please.
You got it, boss. 13.
Okay, what are you doing?
Pacing, I guess. I'm probably looking through people's stuff, actually.
That sounds right.
Any bags or satchels that's been left piled around?
Okay. You hear, as you're doing this, you hear feet shuffling outside the door.
I go to the door and I listen.
As you get to the door, you listen. You don't hear him once you get to the door.
I don't pay too much attention to it. There are other people staying in this temple, so could be someone shuffling off to the bathroom, just truffle shuffling their way to the bathroom.
After a few moments, you hear the shuffling again at the door.
I go and I slowly open. No, I don't. I go, I pick up one of my daggers, and then I slowly open the door.
Tom and Carla, take off your headphones for a moment, please. You open the door. You think you see a shadow dip down the hall quickly.
Oh, yeah, you think you can get away from me, you fucking shadow man. I pursue.
You run down the hall. Run, or you're going stealthily,
I assume. I'm stealthy, yeah.
Yeah, make a stealth check.
Well, that's a 19 plus, like, I don't know, a million.
You're like the knight. You're moving quick. You get around a corner, and you see a figure. You get around a corner, it goes down the stairs, and this figure is in the kitchen. And it's kind of bent over the table, like leaned over the table. Not a figure you recognize.
But, like, corporeal.
Yeah.
Like, he's a solid guy.
Yeah. Okay. Similar size to you, so not very tall, but yeah.
Hey, what's cooking good looking?
The figure straightens up and takes a step back and turns around, and you are staring into a mirror.
Well, what's wrong with the good looking part?
When you are hit from behind and knocked unconscious. You fall to the ground, and then the next thing you know, you wake up at the end of your watch. And you get to the end of your watch, and, I mean, it was late at night. I'm assuming 4-hour watches. It's probably morning time now. So the three others, Hillip, Glim, and Moot, you begin to wake with kind of the morning light coming through the window, and Sully is seated there finishing up his watch.
Anything happen on anybody's shift? Mine was pretty snooze fest.
Did you literally fall asleep?
No, I was awake the whole time, just nothing happened.
I have a confession to make.
Uh-oh.
I did fall
Glim,
asleep.
Glim, you don't have to. Oh, you don't have
I
to.
I fell asleep. I have to be honest.
We could have kept it a secret between friends.
I did fall asleep. I had a crazy dream.
Glim, what happened in your dream?
Can you imagine what Hillip could have done to us in our sleep if he was the only one awake?
I mean, I think he was the only one awake because I fell asleep.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
I was awake when you were sleeping.
But I also trust Hillip. I don't think he did anything. I don't think anything happened. I think everything's fine, but I did have a crazy dream and my clothes were on all weird and there was a horse head tied to my butt and I don't know. You know, dreams, they don't really make sense.
She was tripping balls on the meat sweats, I figure.
That's fact up, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
That'll do it.
Yeah. It sometimes happens. You see and hallucinate crazy different things. Anyways, so everybody's all good then?
Yeah, I'm good.
Yeah. Yeah. Nothing happened. I sat here, stared at you assholes while you're sleeping.
You stared at the assholes?
Well, if you didn't sleep, just spread eagle.
It's the most comfortable that way.
Yeah, I'm going to have to burn that bed. You should at least have pants on.
I did at first. So I stare like spring-loaded when I sleep.
Oh, God. That's not the only thing, too, man. I mean, you got to get that under control. You're sleeping in a whole room full of people. Anyway, who wants breakfast?
Yeah.
Anything to end this conversation.
I don't know how we got here, but it just happened. I will put my pants back on. That's fine.
I thought that was maybe. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, I mean,
that's cool.
We're in
Sorry.
A temple and we're going to go get breakfast. So it would be.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, even if we were not in a temple about to eat, like, dinner, you should still have your pants on, man.
True. I mean, if you were in your own home alone, you should do whatever you want.
Sure. Yeah, sorry. I didn't mean to. It just... You sleep, you fall into the routine of usual things.
Of spring-loaded pants, I mean.
Of spring-loaded pants. Pew! Is the sound that they sometimes make.
A gad.
Yeah. Okay, so breakfast?
Sounds good. Sounds tasty.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Unless you say otherwise, you'd probably head downstairs to the kitchen.
I would assume, yep.
Yep. Who's cooking up? What are you doing?
Guys. Chef Sally's in the house.
Oh. See, I was picturing that, like, at the temple, there was probably one of the people that just made, like, I don't know, oatmeal or, like, some very simple, plain temple food. But I like this Chef Sally idea. So
yeah, I want to see where Chef Sally takes us.
I'm going to ransack this motherfucking place. I'm finding eggs. Like, I'm finding herbs. I'm finding all kinds of stuff. And I'm making omelets.
The omelets? Should I go get some baguettes for the omelets?
Ah, yeah, man. Nothing's better than crusty bread with eggs. Get at it.
Okay, I shall be right back.
I think that's the nicest way I've ever told him to get lost.
I think you're right.
You're very polite.
You didn't even injure him.
It's been a while. I feel like we're coming due. So Sully starts to cook and, you know, he's getting creative with the ingredients. He's dipping into his satchel a little bit. Pulling some special ingredients for everybody.
Oh.
Sprinkle here, dash here, sauteing.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of showing off his skills a little bit. Chopping, but not looking at what he's chopping, like looking at you guys, you know.
Is he doing that thing where he like flicks the pan with his wrist and causes everything to light?
Absolutely. He's got a pan full of mushrooms and he's like, he throws a clove of garlic crushed up in there. He's getting a little weird with it. He's like, you like that? Yeah. You like that sizzle? He does a little shimmy when he says sizzle.
Oh. Sully, you've had so many different jobs and you're so skilled at this. I assume you must have been a cook or a chef or...
Oh, absolutely. I was a foodeteer.
Oh. And is that like a cook or a chef?
Well, foodeteer is just like... It's like a step above a chef, really. Oh. Because, I mean, you have to know all about the food and where the food is grown and if the food is good and, you know, things like that. So, that's how I know how to get the freshest ingredients and how to saute like a motherfucking wizard.
Oh. I mean, you are. It looks so good, and it smells incredible. I can't wait to eat.
I finish up the omelets, and I serve them up.
Should we wait for Hillip? I mean, cold eggs aren't good. We should just go ahead, right?
Oh, yeah. God, no. Nobody likes cold eggs.
Hillip runs back in. Looks like he's been through a whirlwind of a fight, and he's got, like, 4 baguettes just everywhere, shirts untucked, and just say, whoa, I'm back.
What happened?
This is a very quick run. I had to fight off several older ladies who were also there for the baguettes.
Did you not let them have any of the baguettes?
Well, I needed one for each of my pally pals, and the older ladies say they didn't want to wait for the next batch, so I had to pay a premium and also steal one, hence the running.
Oh. Well.
Okay, it's going to break your heart. I'm not going to eat a whole fucking loaf of bread. That's excessive, man.
Yeah, Moot has learned a valuable lesson about carb intake since his time in the town.
So what you're saying is...
Is one loaf probably would have sufficed?
Yeah, maybe 2 maximum. You didn't need to get 4.
Here's one loaf. I have some apologies to make. I shall return in a moment.
Do you Do you want to eat some eggs for the road, or?
Yeah, I mean, eat your eggs before you go.
No, it's really probably very important that I go apologize to Mrs. Rubenstein. Because she probably might not walk the same again.
Oh, boy, Hillip.
I shall return.
And he leaves with three baguettes.
Oh, boy.
He takes his bread seriously,
very
that one.
Seriously.
Yeah, he really does. His bread and his meat. I'd hate to see how he is about cheese.
Maybe we'll find out.
All right, everybody digging in?
Yeah.
Everybody roll a d20. See how well Sully cooked.
Just,
you roll a d20, too.
Oh, I roll a d20?
15.
6.
4. This isn't my best work.
Moot, you kind of filter through it, and you see an interesting ingredient in there. It looks familiar to you. You can't quite place it, but it's not one that is regularly available, at least through your omelet purchasing since you've been in Waterdeep.
But it looks familiar to me?
Yeah. Well, yeah, something about it looks familiar. You can't quite put your finger on it.
Sully, what's this? And I've got it on my fork.
Oh, Dad, that's only the freshest ingredients.
No, but like, what is it?
Well, you know, it's it's like one of the flavor makers. She sounded so gross.
Yeah, it doesn't sound great.
No, it doesn't, but I'm going to call every ingredient I put in food now flavor maker. So.
Well, I mean, I recognize pretty much everything else in here, but this one, I don't know what this one is. And I've had some food allergy issues in the past, so I'm going to put this one to the side.
Well, I was going to say, I mean, you don't know if you're going to be allergic to it until you put it in your mouth.
Yeah, that's not usually how I like to find that out. I just,
like,
I just
really,
don't...
I think you should just try it.
It just doesn't look too good to me.
But it's so good.
What's Glim doing?
No, just eating. Cool. Just eating, observing this conversation.
Glim likes it.
Yeah, it's very delicious.
Mm-hmm. Glim, you liking it?
It's great. I love it when people cook for me. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. Eat it.
I mean, I appreciate it too.
You hurt my feelings.
I'm sorry.
Is Sully also eating? Because it'd be weird if he's not.
What if I chopped it up into smaller pieces?
Sully, make a persuasion.
Oh, dang. That's only a 12.
Versus Moot's insight.
Oh, nat 20.
Fuck.
Moot. You get the feeling that Sully's hiding something. And it has to do with whatever this ingredient is that you're not suspicious of, but you're curious about. Welcome to the middle. We're here.
Yeah.
To tell you that you can win a book or a shirt.
A really cool book.
Yeah.
And a really cool shirt.
Ah,
jinx.
Only cool prizes.
Only cool
That's
prizes.
All I'm saying. But you can win a copy of Baldur's Gate Descent into Avernus. Or Avernus, whichever way you want to say it.
Whatever your pleasure is.
Or some sweet swag from Dungeons & Dragons.
And I think... while you could only win a book or a t-shirt, someone will win a book.
No, you had it right the first time. Two people.
You know what I'm trying to say? Two people will win. One person will win a book and one person will win a t-shirt.
And the odds are real good for you to do that. All you got to do is rate, review, and or subscribe. It's really easy. And then share it with us.
That sounds way too easy to win stuff, right?
I mean,
surely it's more complicated than that.
That's it. All you got to do is rate us on your app. 5 stars, hopefully 5 stars.
I mean, we wouldn't be sad if it was 5 stars.
We wouldn't be sad if it was 5 stars. Leave a review. Tell them which joke you liked. Or maybe just how we've changed your life.
Oh, boy. That's a lot of pressure.
Oh, wow.
Okay, yeah.
Or just a keyword I mean, or something you've heard in an episode. Just anything. Russ is being just a little too demanding, I think.
It could literally just say, it's fun to listen to while I do chores.
All those and more. Boom. All those and more. Or just take a little screenshot of your app there. Make sure your social insurance number
credit card information
is there. And then post that to Twitter and or Facebook using the hashtag #DumbDragonCast. Or, I mean, you have to share it to
us. Just screenshot showing that you're subscribed to the show and you're good to go.
I like the way that rhymed. So all you got to do is rate, review, subscribe. Show us that you do that. And then you're entered to win Baldur's Gate Descent into Avernus or Avernus. Or some sweet swag.
Both are great options.
Mm-hmm.
And when do they have until to do that?
Thank you for asking this very important question, Carla. We've got until November 30th. That's the end of the month. And then we'll let you know who wins. We'll let them know on there. But then we'll be back in on December 4th and tell you who won the sweet goods.
So you may as well just do it now because you're already listening to us. You're probably already on your device. So you can just go click that 5 or up to you, stars. And then take a picture and send it to us right now, and then you'll be entered. You don't have to think about it until maybe we tell you you won.
That's right.
Ooh, that'd be awesome.
All right. Well, thank you for doing that, just preemptively.
Mm-hmm.
And congratulations to the winner on November 30th.
Yeah.
Winners. Winners. Okay, back to the episode.
Woo! Bye.
Yeah, I just wish I knew actually what it was. It's a lot easier to make an informed decision when you know these things.
All right, it's called Jiggle Jolt.
What?
And it's an ancient ingredient of my halfling people. It's like a mixture between a fern shoot and a water pond reed. It's chewy. And it absorbs the flavors. While also being a flavor maker, it has two roles in food.
As the door opens back up and Hillup comes in, even more disheveled, hair everywhere. Well, guys, I gave the baguettes back to Mrs. Rubenstein, and she was not happy with Sir Hillup here.
You're missing a big chunk of your hair off the left side.
Yeah, I think it will grow back at a certain time.
Maybe after... when your mustache grows back, too.
Oh, so it's almost there, right? Did you make the breakfast so that we could share this one single baguette, not to each have our own baguettes?
Yes.
These eggs are delicious, but I'm so curious. Like, Moot, can I just see the thing? I'm so curious now.
I don't think you have to pick it apart. If let's just say you're gonna eat cake, but all you see is like the dry flour and then the raw eggs and then all that stuff, and you're gonna think it's gross.
Well, I wouldn't call those things a cake.
What is the problem here? We are just having breakfast, all of us friends. So did you make something yucky?
No, man, it's good. Here you go.
No, they're delicious.
Just push
eggs.
A plate towards them.
Did you make it just the way I like it?
Yeah.
Great. That's cool. All right. He takes a bite.
See, he'll eat it.
Again, people are more than welcome to it. It's just not for me.
Okay. I'm going to stop pushing. I'm sorry, Moo. I can see this is a sore subject for you. So it's all right. Don't eat my special ingredient.
I mean, my eggs must be gone by now. I've just been eating this whole time, so.
I don't know what they're arguing about. You have made it very, very, very nice and very good. Moot, make a perception check.
That is a 16.
You kind of glance down at Hillup's plate, and you could be mistaken because he's eating it kind of quickly, but you don't see that ingredient on his plate.
I don't know what to do with this information, Russ.
That's almost just like spit-taked that. That's what these covers are for, right? Mm-hmm. the spray of beer that might come out of your mouth when Tom makes you laugh.
Is where it almost came out.
Oh, geez. Yeah. That's unfortunate.
Yeah, so I just kind of make a mental note of like, didn't see any of these on Hillip's plate. As I've pushed mine off to the side.
All right.
By the way, when you do that, you look like a child.
That's okay.
So why did you push the things over there off to the plate? Are you allergic to those things?
Well, I do have some food allergy issues.
Oh, okay. That seems fair. It seems fair, right?
Oh, if no, he has allergies,
we don't want to kill our friends with the food that we create.
Heck no, but I'm like, just saying, how do you know you have an allergy?
I thought I could have killed you each with a baguette hole in your tummy. It would have expanded and exploded, and it could have been very bad, which is why I gave some back to Mrs. Rubenstein.
It was very kind of you to return them.
Thank you for saying so.
I'm going to make some tea before we head out on whatever we need to be doing, which I'm sure is something about a three-eyed ghost guy. So does anyone want any tea?
Yeah, I would have some tea.
Sure.
Tea? Yeah, tea?
I'm okay. I'm quite full.
Okay. I brew up some mint tea.
It's on the other end of the kitchen. The three of you are sitting around the table.
So there was a bit of a kerfuffle when I came back in. Are you okay? You were sullied? Was there like an argument of some sort?
No, he went through all the effort of making this omelet for everyone, and then I didn't want to eat part of it. I think he took it personally. It wasn't anything personal.
Okay. Well, that's fair. And you enjoyed your omelet?
I liked my omelet. I mean, there was... I don't know that I could have identified everything in it. I was pretty hungry. I just ate it, but...
Does Sully cook the foods very often?
This is the first time I've really seen him go to, or at least for breakfast.
Yeah, but he did used to be a foodeteer, so.
Right, yes, the foodeteer, yeah.
So, I mean, he has experience with it.
Maybe we start a company called the Three Foodeteers. Go around. Well, there's four of us, though.
Yeah.
So well, there was actually four of those guys, too.
Right. Good call. We are the 3-4 Foodeteers. The 3-4-de-tears. Look at us combining words and making fun. Sully comes back over with the tea.
I don't know if there's travel mugs, but there are now. There's like a water skin, but, you know, thicker so that you don't burn yourself
there's
the
like
hot
fur
liquid
on the
that's inside.
Sure.
And it keeps beverages warm. Yeah.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So I hand those out. All right, it's minty. It's a little hot. It's actually going to be perfect for, you know, the mixture of the bread and the eggs and all that stuff. Just mint's real good for settling your stomach afterwards, you know?
Mm-hmm.
That is super cool. All right.
Oh, I know a lot about herbs. I used to be an herbalist.
Oh.
That is an actual thing.
What a change.
Wow, it's a job that he actually might have had. Now we don't really know.
That's right. I would make lists of all of the herbs.
You are a...
And I would give them to different people with different reasons to use them.
You are what they call a mystery wrapped inside of an enigma. Wrapped inside of something else that
is... I think
is...
it's kind of rude to talk about somebody's enigma.
I mean, you were talking about my enigma.
Well, it was on display, it sounds like.
Sorry.
It was graphic.
I get it. It was graphic. Don't know where to go with that. All right, where are we to, everybody?
I made breakfast. I can't be expected to also make a plan, you guys.
Well, what do we want to do? Do we want to try and find Ken? I mean, that seemed to dry
Ken's
up.
Ken's dead.
Dry up.
Ken's dead.
Like a little husk.
I don't
husk.
Know.
Get it, guys?
What do you mean?
Get it? Dried up like his little husk that fell off his little tiny body.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Sorry, I got confused when you were talking about the joke you were making with, and he screamed, Ken's dead.
Yeah. Yeah, it seemed like an inappropriate time to make a joke, but I didn't know what things were going to get so serious right at that moment. So do you?
It's okay. I'd like your level of inappropriateness, Glim.
Do you give up on
endearing.
Ken? You seem so was the other half of your
whole.
You guys
were attached at the hip.
That's funny, because he was very close to that part. You guys are funny today. I don't know. You know, it's just like, you know, I just don't even know. Is it even worth it? I'm fine. Nothing that comes out of me can be bad.
Okay, sure.
So we're not looking for the kin?
Well, I mean, if we stumble across them, sure.
Right. Okay.
Well, you let us know. If you get a feeling or you miss him and you want to, you let us know. Because he's your lump, so.
Well, what about Hillip's lump?
Yeah, we have not found my lump yet, but we figured that Ken and Barry were together and they were having a good time.
I mean, you'd have to think the two lumps would meet up. I mean, who else do they know?
I don't know if all lumps know each other. I feel like maybe you're being...
really presumptuous.
Maybe that's... Sorry, that's my bad.
Mm-hmm. You know what they say about presumpting?
What do they say about presumpting?
Don't do it. It's rude.
Oh. That is what they say.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Very popular saying here.
Well, if we're not going to try to track down the lumps, maybe we should look into these demon gates?
Oh, yeah. Tell me about the demon gates.
Well, I don't know about them. That's why I said we should look into them.
Oh, yeah. No, fair enough. Fair enough.
Maybe like a library or maybe someone here at the temple knows, Glim.
Yeah, I mean, we could ask the head priestess here. She might know.
You head downstairs and she's busy kind of just tidying up in the main temple room. She sees you come down and says, good sleep, everybody.
Well, I mean, I had a very strange dream, but generally, yes, I think so.
Good. Sully, I heard you walking around last night. Was everything okay?
Oh, yeah, everything was fine.
Good.
Just, you know, thought I heard something. It was late. Got a little scared.
I understand. Well, the snow, nobody really comes to try and break into the temple, so you should be okay. You should be safe here.
I know. It's just weird stuff's been happening, man.
Do tell me.
Well,
what has been happening that is weird?
I mean, a few things. I mean, Sully had a lump that came out of his body and then seemed to gain sentience and was alive, and we were following it. And then, same night, we saw a ghostly three-eyed boy in a graveyard, and he said something very cryptic and scary about the demon gates opening and our destiny calling and something about Orcus? Do you know anything about any of those things?
Well, I do hope that that is like one of your bad dreams.
No, this was not a dream.
That one happened. Yeah.
It sounds fucked up.
It does. It does sound like that is not good. Well, Orcus, as you know, is the demon lord of the undead.
Mm-hmm.
And really wants nothing more than to rid the world of pain and suffering, I guess you could say.
Yeah, it doesn't sound so bad. Hot jinx.
Oh, you got me, Zully.
Wait for it. He wants to rid the world of pain and suffering by making everyone undead.
That sounds less good.
Well, I mean, though, think about it. If everybody is undead, would you even know? Right?
I mean, the transition period is more the concern, and once he is in power, that gives him a lot of power to move between planes and worlds. And
I mean, that doesn't sound great. I don't think we want, you know, demon lord just being in control of all of us. Seems very bad.
Yeah, that's not great.
Yes, it seems like the world has just gotten past something world-ending.
Yes.
I have not heard of any demon gates opening, and I hope that they aren't.
Is there like a location, like demon gate on the corner of 5th and Sycamore?
No. Demons aren't supposed to be able to
come into the material plane without some sort of portal, some sort of gateway opening. But those gateways don't just exist, not like those of the Fae or the Shadowfell, which are directly connected to us. The Abyss and Avernus, the Nine Hells, are a little more disconnected, in a sense. There are ways in, but they are few and far between, and if demon gates are opening, and that is what has been presented to you, that could spell disaster for everyone.
Disaster's our middle name.
Intro music was by Kevin MacLeod of incompetech.filmmusic.io. Other music and sound effects can be found at epidemicsound.com. Thank you to our supporting producers, Gabriel Lynch, Ryan Cushman, Joshua Dixon, Devin Michaels, Kat Waterflame, and Jacob Madden. Find out more at patreon.com/dumbdragoncast. Dungeons & Dragons is a Dumb Dragons production.
The Fable & Folly Network, where fiction producers flourish.
My friend Shayna was like, just so you know, everyone in the Villainous League is coming to kill you. And I was like, oh boy.
Imagine NPR in the MCU. The Daily Planet's style desk. Car talk for jetpacks.
It's these American supers.
100% invisible.
The speech bubble.
It's sequential.
The utility belt.
Superhuman Public Radio is a fiction podcast telling the hilarious and heartbreaking stories of people in a superpowered world.
I thought I was going to die.
An invisible car in Chicago?
Are we supervillains?
These are the stories that fall between the panels of comic books.
I think they knew that I didn't mean to do that to Arizona.
Wasabi!
Oh my God,
he could kill himself.
Kid, I feel like you're not giving this problem your all.
No.
But yes, I guess most people would call them a death squad.
Ta-da. Superhuman Public Radio. Superhuman stories.
The only limits are your imagination, and I have a wild imagination.
New episodes every Wednesday, wherever you get your podcasts.
This is SPR.
Name the supervillain, and we've done the gig. But these Wall Street types that lackey answers to, yikes.